Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anyone in between and all those still trying to figure it the fuck out, please sit back, relax, put in your earphones, and buckle your seatbelts. The next 2 hours are guaranteed to not be safe for work. Now welcome to your speakers, smartphones, or laptop, America's sweetheart, Pollo Del Mar, and San Francisco's blazing beauty, Pearl Tees. It's time for Podomatic's number one ranked LGBT podcast, and 120 minutes of your life you will never get back. Brought to you in conjunction with San Francisco's Left Magazine, it's time for Party Foul Radio with Pollo and Pearl.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Party Foul Radio. I am your co-host, Ms. Pollo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tees.
And we are working on episode 83, everybody. Welcome back. If you are new, welcome for the first time. If you are coming back to join us again, after time, welcome back. It has been a wild week, everybody, for the whole United States, because just as we thought we were past one hurricane, another one hit us.
Right.
So, and this one, of course, I had my eye on a little more closely because my mom, my sister, my niece all live directly in what was considered the line of the path of the hurricane. So, Fortunately, all of them are safe. Sexy D, my sister Tracy, my niece Alexis, my nephews, all are very safe. They only experienced some power outages, and that seems to be the most of it, but if you are in Florida, and I know some of our listeners are, we have our fingers crossed that you came through this quite well. I checked with our homegirl, Lexi Rayford. She said things are pretty much okay. Some power lines good. Down, some trees down, some stuff like that. But
That's so good to hear.
Yeah, the damage is a little more minimal than was predicted, at least in her area. So that's quite heartening.
On top of that, girl, the weather out here has been crazy also. We had a minor storm out here last night.
It was a thunder and lightning storm, which is highly unusual for San Francisco, but the rest of the United States, like when I lived in the Midwest, we got that shit all the time. So,
but not here, girl, but we got it last night.
Yes, exactly. I read this one tweet that said, if you have not experienced a natural disaster, please wait. One will be assigned to you shortly.
Right. Seriously. Seriously, girl, it's coming.
So, yeah, I do hope that all of our listeners, I know, for example, that my friends John and Jay, who moved from San Francisco to an area like West Palm Beach, got evacuated from their area. And then so they went west in towards Tampa to be safer and then ended up in the line of fire there, too. So it's like,
oh, wow.
John and Jay, I'm thinking about you guys. I hope that you're well. I hope nothing happened to your home because they have a framed photo of one of my face prints in their bathroom.
You're worried about their home.
I hope that I protected you guys. I hope that I protected you all.
Right.
So, Pearl, you worked all weekend at Asia SF, girl.
I was there. It was just a busy weekend for me. But Asia SF has been so much. It's been a lot of work, but it's been fun. I'm working on my first number. I should have my first costume done for my first number by the end of this week.
Oh, very fun.
Which means hopefully I'll be on stage at Asia SF starting next week.
Oh, excellent.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed that, you know, everything going well. I'm really excited.
So are things at Asia SF turning out to be as wonderful as you thought they would be? I know that you had high hopes for it. And you were all like, I don't want to get my hopes up.
I mean, it's still the beginning. So far, so good.
Okay. So far, so good. She's in her honeymoon phase up at the Asia SF, y'all.
Yeah, but you know what I really am in a honeymoon phase with? The cosplay still.
Like, oh, my God.
I have been, like, diving into cosplay, like, following all these new Instagrammers and cosplayers and costume builders. And that's where I think my real honeymoon phase is right now.
Okay.
Asia SF is really exciting. I just have to get my hoe gear a little bit more together. but, you know.
Her hoe attire.
Yeah.
She has to really hoe it up.
You really do. Otherwise, you're going to feel like a basic Betty.
So, in other words, y'all, remember I told you she's going to have her titties hanging out in no time. Here we go.
Yeah, it's real.
En route to having her titties hanging right on out.
Right.
So I also had a pretty active weekend. Normally I only do the Divas Royale show at El Toro nightclub on Saturday evenings, but they contacted me middle of the week last week and told me that they wanted to have a Divas Royale on Friday and Saturday.
Oh.
Which...
All right.
So, it was great for me, girl, because it was a paycheck both days. And it was... The crowd was very responsive. It was the first time that there had ever been enough reservations for Divas Royale that they had a Divas Royale without the Hunkamania show.
Oh, wow.
So, Hunkamania did, of course, happen on Saturday, and it was packed, but I always say this as part of my little shtick there, but there are definitely two different kinds of women who come to this show. There are the women who want to spend their bachelorette party at a drag show, and they're like wild and fun and free. And then there are the women who want to spend their bachelorette party at a Hunkamania stripper show, and they are hoes. And like, right. You're like, oh, so this is her last go as a hoe before she's like, you know, right. Marrying it up. So,
mm-hmm.
But, It's a very interesting experience. Well, you know, because you were there that one time.
It was a very interesting experience. So, I'll say that.
And I'm hoping that things get streamlined. They're continuing to get more and more streamlined. Right now, it's lovely because we have the drag show, and then the drag show wraps up, and then it goes right in to the strip show, and I don't have to be there for the strip show, which is fucking delightful. Like, I mean, the thing is, I don't want to paint it in a bad light or whatever, because people who go for a strip show get quite a show. But when they used to have us interspersed to be like a drag queen and a stripper, drag queen's performances are like 5 minutes long. The stripper performances are like 20 minutes long. They play like every song, and like, meanwhile, you're up there in the dressing room, which is a
How
fucking
long
hot
they take
box.
Off to take off some clothes?
Well, it's not about them wanting to take off the clothes, girl. They want to go slap their schlong up against every whore in the place so they can get a dollar. You know how it is. They'd be like, pow, pow, pow. The bitch is like, yes, bitch, oh, here's a dollar. So, I mean, that's what really it's about. And, of course, so when you got a big crowd, they want to work their way through it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm just glad I don't have to stay for it. I'm like, I show up, do my gig, get paid, go
get
home.
Get out. Girl, that's...
Yes, that's how it should be. That's how I want it to be. And I'm excited that things are growing for Divas Royale. Last week, I think I mentioned to you guys that I'm working on something at El Toro, and that has taken a major turn for the better, and I am ecstatic about it. I'm not ready to release all the details yet, but it's very, very exciting. And
I remember you told me that the place is going to go under renovations. When is that happening?
They are looking at renovations. I don't know exactly when they're planning to do that, and I think that it's one of those things that they probably need to really plan it out, because if they do too much... You know what I mean? They're going to have to close down.
Yeah.
And they've got a full schedule booked there. So they're looking certainly to upgrade. There's some things like, if it were me, I would like try to put in little upgrades bit by bit. Like, you know, like, okay, you guys, we're going to close down on Tuesday, and we're going to come in and we're going to paint the interior.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like something that you can get done in a day. And then... come back and it looks a little nicer, and then like, okay, you guys, next Tuesday, because they're basically, they're almost closed on Tuesday. They have a front bar and that's open, but they don't have any major activities. So that's how I would do it. That's how I would structure it.
Well,
but I'm
they
sure...
have like Monday night and then Tuesday.
Right. Well, I think that they have Monday stuff planned on Mondays. I think the days of the week that they don't have stuff at El Toro are Tuesdays and Thursdays, which is why I'm looking at Thursdays for them. Anyway, so...
I have some news, but I have to tell you that off air. Sorry, y'all.
Oh, okay. Meanwhile, today, as we are recording this on September 12th, it was announced earlier today that Edith Windsor, the plaintiff in the landmark same-sex marriage case, which saw the Defense of Marriage Act happen, like it was voted down, she passed away, you guys. Edie Windsor is the LGBTQ activist and lead plaintiff in the landmark Supreme Court marriage equality case that in 2013 went in front of the Supreme Court. She was fighting against the fact that that her marriage to her first wife was not being recognized. Ultimately, the Supreme Court decided 5-4 in favor of the Defense of Marriage Act, which said the legal designation of a spouse applied to only the marriages between a man and woman was unconstitutional. So that's the one we all celebrated a few years ago, basically, yeah, which made same-sex marriage legal. And Edie Windsor was the person who was the plaintiff in that case, and she passed away at 88 years old. So, it's a very, very sad day. She is survived by her second legal wife, Judith Kazin Windsor, with whom she married in October of 2016. Come on, you old girls getting married up in the fucking golden age.
It was almost their one-year anniversary.
It was, girl. Well, I mean, you better get married in the prime plus of your life, girl. 87 years old getting married.
You can get married whenever, girl.
I know, that's right.
Fully support it.
Anyway, so there has been an outpouring of support by social media in remembrance of Edie Windsor, President Obama released something about her. Of course, nothing from Trump, needless to say.
Right.
But that's because he's a scumbag. But President Obama said that, you know, it's been a long road to change. And if it were not for people who were brave like Edie Windsor, we would not be seeing the change and progress we've been made. So if you guys think that change is made by the young, think again. She was 88, you know, she was like 85 years old going up in the Supreme Court saying.
Well, I mean, that's not to say that change isn't done by the young. So if you're young, please do your work.
Well, right. Exactly. I mean, the thing is, it's never too late to affect change, and it is never too soon to affect change.
Exactly.
She was 85 years old up in the Supreme Court. You know that shit wore her ass out.
Right.
She probably.
But at the same time, she probably didn't work.
One would hope that she, like, didn't work at 85. Well, I mean, then again,
it depends where you are, girl.
Girl, making social change is work, bitch.
It is.
Making social change is work. So I'm reading through this, you know. Oh, she said that she talks about when she first met her
current wife,
her first wife, that which was like back in the 50s or 60s, early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
She said that when they first met. She said, we danced so much we wore holes in our stockings.
Oh, that's cute.
That is so cute. I bet it made it easier to pull those pantyhose off, bitch. Hey!
Right, seriously.
Anyway, so after her first wife passed away in 2009, the government didn't recognize the couple's marriage as valid. And as a result, she was required to pay almost $400,000 in inheritance tax. Which, if they had been married, would have just been her property and she wouldn't have had to pay anything.
Oh, no, bitch. You are not going to try me today.
So, yeah. I mean, she was saying that, basically, girl, $400,000 is a plenty good reason to fucking sue somebody. But.
Oh, girl, I would do more than sue somebody.
But the fact is that, you know, they were married all these years. They had accumulated all this stuff. And when her spouse passed away, she didn't have the rights to any of it. And this is the kind of stuff that historically has happened to us all the time. Like, you look back through the AIDS epidemic of the 80s in particular and early 90s when people would, their partners, their husbands basically, would become ill with AIDS and their family would then have the right to prevent the husband from coming into the hospital room or seeing him or having any say in his medical treatment or anything like that.
Right.
And then after, to add insult to injury, after the person had ultimately passed, then they would like come and take all their stuff and be like, nope, this wasn't yours.
Right.
I mean, so thank God. And this is why people want to know, so many people ask, why marriage equality? Why would gays want to have marriage equality? Why would gays want to marry? It's a heteronormative existence or whatever. Well, girl, there's some legalities that come with it. Nobody's saying that your marriage has to be heteronormative.
Right.
Like, you can have all, you know, whatever is in the parameters, but the legality of it is across the board needs to happen. Because, you know, if I had a spouse and something happened to me, I wouldn't want him to have to, like, fight with the state to get our belongings.
Right.
I wouldn't want, you know, no. I mean, it's just.
And vice versa. You know, if I had a partner who was a woman and I passed, you better believe my shit's going to her, not to my dad.
Right, of course.
You know what I mean?
And that's exactly it. So, and that actually was specifically one of the big kind of like twists of the knife back in the 80s, because so many of these people who were unfortunately passing away of AIDS had been disowned by their family for a variety of reasons.
Right.
And then here at the last, like, minute when they're on their death's door, they're coming in and taking all their shit.
No.
And then the person who's been there for them the whole time is, like, left with nothing. Fuck you. Fuck that. Fuck you.
Right.
So, anyway, our thoughts are with Edith Windsor and
her family.
Yes. And you know what? I have to say that I remember so joyously that moment when the Supreme Court finally ruled. I was down at Harvey Milk Plaza, and Cookie Dough was there, and Michael Chu, and like so many of our other friends, we were there together, and the news came in, and everybody was just so excited, and definitely one of the major turning points in the modern LGBTQ revolution. So, mm-hmm. Edie Windsor, we owe so much to you and to the work you did. So thank you, and may you rest in power, honey.
Right.
All right. Other big news that is happening in San Francisco, and it's made headlines all across gay queer media around the world, basically, is that there was a what is listed on Huffington Post is a transgender DJ fatally shot outside a club in San Francisco's Tenderloin District. And the DJ's name is Anthony Torres. Everybody that I knew him as Bubbles Babinski.
Yeah.
And most people in the nightlife industry knew him as Bubbles Babinski. What I did not know, according to this, is that he identified as transgender of some kind. I did not know that. He never identified in our interactions as being female.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely a he. That's how he seemed to identify.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
I don't know. I've read the articles, and it sounds like he identified as gender nonconforming.
But does gender nonconforming?
It does not equal to me. I don't know. I don't see it as equaling trans. They're both umbrella terms. But
yes.
they're not like, they don't equal the same thing. Because when you're trans, you definitely identify as a gender.
Yes.
But, you know, it's just not the one you were born as. When you're gender nonconforming, you don't identify with either.
Right. Or my perspective or take on the gender nonconforming thing is that you may identify as a gender, but you don't embrace the norms of said gender.
That's another version of it.
I mean, because of the fact that I think, again, I don't know. I would like to say, with a lot of caveats, I only interacted with him on 3 occasions. So, but during those 3 occasions, male pronouns were used. He presented more as some kind of drag type of personality.
Yeah, like a club kid.
Yeah, that's very definitely it. A very definite club kid vibe. And so, regardless of that, I mean, I just thought it was really unusual. Sometimes, I think that transgender being thrown in a headline makes a more interesting story than...
I don't know. I think that the news always seems to fuck up something about some story when it has to do with something or someone possibly being transgender.
Well, I think what's happening in a lot of situations is that places that are at least inclined to be want to be sensitive to trans issues, like this comes out of San Francisco, so I think that they are inclined to want to be sensitive to trans issues. I think that they would rather err on the side of wrong in deeming the person trans than be offensive by not. Like, I think less people are probably complaining about the, I will say that almost everybody that I personally know who knew or interacted with him on some level were trans, did not come across that way. But I think that it's not offensive in the way that if they had called him a he, if he was a she.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's better to err on the side of the farther left than the farther right. But regardless of the situation,
depending on who it is, I guess.
I guess so, bitch. You know, people are always like, I you know what? I'm going to say this too. Like, at the Friday night Divas Royale situation.
Situation?
Or the show.
Oh, okay.
This is a side note. It was my first time ever meeting somebody and within 2 seconds saying, which pronoun do you identify as? And I was like, I was kind of pleased with myself because of the fact that's something that I would have never really done before. But she said she didn't. She looked very masculine.
Okay.
She said, I don't care. You can call me whatever, blah, blah, blah. I knew that on her ID she was presented as female, but like she didn't physically present as female. And it was.
Okay.
And so I was like, "What? Which do you prefer?"
She had
and
she a more was masculine like, appearance.
Yes. And I thought she might be trans male and I, you know, or like somewhere in that process.
Yeah, you never know.
So I was like, which do you prefer? She's like, I don't care. And I was like, that's not an answer. Which do you prefer? Right. Whatever you identify as is what I'm going to call you. Anyway, so, but I had a lovely conversation with them. So Alex and her girlfriend, Virginia, thank you for coming. I like was delighted to meet both of you and I look forward to seeing you guys again in the future.
Anyway,
back to the, so the story here is that Bubbles, a.k.a. Anthony Torres, a.k.a. Bubbles, was the victim of a what is being reported as a hate crime, according to his attorney, Jim Riley, who described Torres as an activist and artist. They're investigating the homicide, which occurred at 3 a.m. in the area of Larkin and Myrtle Streets. Police arrived at the scene and found Torres suffering from a gunshot wound and was transported to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead. I have no, like, you guys, I don't have any insight into what's going on, but I will say that a lot of people I know here in the nightlife industry were very familiar with Bubbles.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate on many levels. First of all, he lost his life. And second of all, he was just getting ready to go to Berlin and start some like new life. So he was there.
No.
They were planning his going away party and this happened. I don't know. I wish I'd had an opportunity to know more about him. That every time I saw him, he was a little altered. In, you know, so like I never really got to
living his best life.
Oh, girl, living the life large. So, but I never had an opportunity to meet Bubbles, like in conversational sense, because it was just a sort of in passing thing. And I will tell you that one time he came into a fundraising event that I was doing at Aunt Charlie's and asked to perform. So we let him perform. We thought he was homeless, but he came because, you know, it's like sort of a whatever. Uh-huh. And he asked to perform. And so we let him and he performed this original song about getting fisted and watching old people at Aunt Charlie's choke on their fucking gin and tonic had me rolling. And more so watching my drag mother, Landa, who, despite having a history of being a complete whore in her 20s, has turned into a fucking pilgrim or a Puritan or a something in her old age, was priceless.
That is my
fond memory of Bubbles. Anyway, it's a terrible situation. It's always horrible when somebody loses their life. I will tell you this. I'm not placing blame on anyone, but bitch, the day that I'm wandering around the streets at down in Larkin and Myrtle and wherever the hell that's at is like in the middle of the night. No, ma'am, Pam. That is a sketchy area.
Yeah.
There aren't
a lot of people that live out there.
It's not placing blame on anyone, but it's just know your surroundings is what I'm saying. And that is an area where I'm like, woohoo, bitch, put on your bulletproof bra before you go out in the night there.
Just be safe is a better, I think.
So, and then I do want to talk about the fact that since we have got a significant listenership in Australia, where of course...
Come on, down under.
Yes, where of course we are media sponsored by GuideToGay.com. GuideToGay.com is Australia's premier LGBTQ internet destination for all your information about news, travel, and entertainment down under in Australia. They are getting ready and heading into their big vote for marriage equality down there. So later in this episode, we're going to be talking to Australian pop star Zoe Badwee. I failed during our impromptu interview to ask her thoughts on the marriage equality. Of course, she's a big old fag hag, so I pretty much sure I can tell you what you can assume what it would be, but definitely that is something that we are thinking about them, and I'm going to be trying to get us. GuideToGay.com was on site for some of the big rallies down there, and they've offered to try to send us some audio from those, which I will try to include. So it's very political stuff in this episode, just because of the fact that we want to bring attention and awareness to what is happening for our people, our friends and followers around the world. So good luck to y'all in Australia.
Right.
Girl, that, I mean, groundbreaking. That's, it's kind of strange to me to think that Australia doesn't have a marriage equality. Like, there's so many places that seem much more backwards than Australia.
Yeah.
Then again, we only think of Australia as Sydney and Melbourne. Everywhere else is like literally the Australian equivalent to Fresno.
We should probably try to get someone like Courtney Act on too.
We were supposed to get Courtney Act on, and I don't remember what happened to that. I talked to her. She was like, yeah, I would love to. And then I don't remember what happened with that.
I know she's really busy with the whole
AAA girls. Yeah. AAA girls are like really a thing right now, bitch. Yeah. So, I would love to get Courtney on, and nope, don't have her on my phone. Like, I don't remember how. So I do want to, a little teaser, you guys. So first of all, we're getting ready to take a break, but when we come back, we will have more with us. But I want to let you guys know, Pearl doesn't even know this. I have confirmed for the next episode, we are going to have Ross Matthews on.
Oh my gosh, I love Ross Matthews.
Yes, it's so exciting because he'll be calling when Pearl's not available.
Of course.
Bitch, it's not my fault. I try to get these people to call.
I need to see the receipts on that.
He's only available tomorrow morning and Thursday morning. And it's probably going to be ungodly early because he's shooting a TV show. Wow. So,
it is what it is.
We'll
have him on. It's going to be fun. You know, he's such a character. I just simply adore him. That'll be fun.
Yeah. I worked with him in the past at California's Great America. He was one of my headliners a few years ago. And not only was he a fucking delight to work with, but he was also so congenial. He went above and beyond. Like, it was not in his contract to take photos with fans, but when he was on the main stage, he was like, you guys, for the next 15 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever, I'm going to go over here, I'm going to stand at this thing, and you guys can please come take photos with me. I'll get through as many of them as I can. He was a delight. That was the same year that we also worked with Wendy Williams, who was rich.
I'm sure.
God, it was rich. So, anyway, all right, you guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more Party Foul Radio right after this. Each and every episode of Party Foul Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, Daddy's Barbershop. Located at 4102 19th Street in the Castro, Daddy's Barbershop was voted San Francisco's favorite barbershop in the 2017 Bestie Awards. Go visit Arlen, Jesse, and all the men and women of Daddy's Barbershop. Daddy's Barbershop is a proud sponsor of Party Foul Radio. All right, you guys, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm your co-host, Ms. Poyo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
Guys, there is always something exciting happening around here. We literally took a break for just a few seconds to bring you that lovely advertisement for our sponsors at Daddy's Barbershop. And while we were on little break, I got an email saying that, yes, Miss Patricia Arquette, you guys know her. She's a fucking amazing actress. And of course, she's from the powerful Arquette family. Brother David Arquette, sister Alexis Arquette. She is going to be on an upcoming episode. I got connected with her on Twitter because she started, it was amazing. She started retweeting my articles that we publish on the Huffington Post, Queer Voices. And then I was like, hey, did you read that article? Did you like it? She was like, I loved it. And I was like, I would love to write one about you. So that's how it happened. I emailed her people today. It's taken a month of pursuits, but finally got it. We're going to be doing that. So look for that in the next couple of episodes. Thank you, Patricia Arquette, for being...
Right, seriously.
Oh, my gosh. We've got so much good stuff coming up for you. Oh, one piece of heartbreak, though. After initially agreeing, Julie Newmar has said that she would like to take a rain check on doing an interview with us.
Oh.
She said that she doesn't have anything to talk about right now. she's got some projects in the works, and she would like to allow those to come to fruition. But I'm like, girl, you're kind of old. I want to get you before, you know.
Well, I mean, that's real.
It is real, because I remember the same thing. I was supposed to do this interview with Rue McClanahan from Golden Girls a number of years ago. And then, like, a few days before, all of a sudden, she went into the hospital and never came out. So, I was like, damn. You know, like, it's that's horrible. Sad. But when people are, we're human, and while we could all go at any given time, once you get a little bit older. I mean, look at Edie Windsor, poor thing. Here yesterday, gone today. You guys should have seen Pearl's face. Her already big ass eyes got even bigger. She's like, you are such a problem, bitch. Anyway, I'm gonna continue working. We've got some great, great stuff lined up. I can't believe it's already like middle of September. So we've got Ross Matthews and Patricia Arquette coming up. The first week of October, we're going to be having Loretta Swit from MASH on with us. And
come on, Loretta Swit.
Yes.
Not Stone.
No, Loretta Stone. Who's Loretta Stone? Oh, she's black, right? Loretta. No, that's Loretta Devine. Who the hell's Loretta Stone? Not Rosetta Stone, bitch.
It sounds like Rosetta Stone.
Oh, God. Anyway.
That's why it was off. It's like, it still sounds off.
Meanwhile, yeah. I'm like, we've got some great stuff coming up for you. I'm really trying to get Leia Delari on. I think that'd be so much fun. I've been saying all this time, like, I really want to get us, like, a real bull dyke. Like, you know, like.
I love it. You should try to get, Rosie O'Donnell, if you want a real one, girl.
Well, I think Leia Delari is even butcher than Rosie.
Oh, really?
But, do you want to know somebody else that I reached out to?
Or Wanda Sykes. I would live for Wanda Sykes, girl.
I interviewed Wanda Sykes before. Like, I'll try to get her on, too. Mm-hmm. I reached out to Latavia Roberson.
No, you didn't. Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Did she respond?
Yes, she did.
What did she say?
She emailed me back and she messaged me back and said to email her manager, who I did email. So that's something that's also, you guys, I do all this shit behind the scenes, and sometimes I'll send off stuff and then I'll get like a response like, yeah, we would love to. And then like months go by, you know, then it finally happens. So this is how you have to do it. It's just like anything. You have to put the good things out into the universe and just sort of wait for them to come back for you. So, Latavia's manager also manages, I'm trying to remember the name of the guy. He was on America's Next Top Model. He's light-skinned, very gay, black, blue eyes. Did you see it?
And he's gay?
Yeah. And he's an America's Next Top Model contestant. And he said that he got raped in a nightclub in, shit. Now I have to.
That's rough.
He said he got raped in a nightclub in Paris. Hold on.
Oh my God.
America's Next. I'm looking it up. America's.
How do you get raped in a nightclub, girl?
Well, he said that the person forced his way into a bathroom stall and like sexually assaulted him.
And no one helped him in the bathroom?
I don't know, girl. Hold on. Rape Paris. I'm looking it up. Trying to remember what his name is. Bello Sanchez.
Okay.
Do you know him?
No, I don't.
Have you never heard of him?
Mm-mm.
So this is actually, I think, it's from spring of this year. Former America's Next Top Model contestant Bello Sanchez says he was raped in a Paris nightclub, but police refused to properly investigate due to his race and sexuality.
Wait. The police refused to investigate because of his race and sexuality?
That's what he said. I want to pull up. He's like, it's so, I mean, this sounds terrible to say because I would like to get him on the podcast too, but when he was on Top Model, he looked so beautiful and all together. And then the more recent photos I've seen him, he looks like Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, which is not flattering.
The pictures you're looking at are ones from TMZ, girl.
But yeah, but that's a video that he released. Okay, look, this is when he was on Top Model.
Oh, is he deaf or something?
I don't think he's deaf. And then,
I feel like I've definitely seen pictures of him before.
Like, he's lovely. He's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway, he and Latavia have the same manager, and ideally I would love to get both of them on, because You know, we've been doing this for a year and a half and never had one person from Top Model on, which is kind of surprising.
Okay.
I mean, she's like, whatever.
I mean, I used to live for Top Model, but then I stopped watching a very long time ago.
Well, girl, it's like 100,000 seasons in, but...
Yeah, the girl... Did you know they had Rita Ora,
Yes, for one season.
That's crazy.
They had Rita Ora on for one season, and then Tyra was like, girl, I'm sorry, bitch, bye.
We lost even more ratings than we had already lost.
Yeah, I mean, but, well, the reason I say it's surprising to me is because they're, like, only a few reality shows almost, like, clockwork generate new LGBTQ, like, reality TV stars. Every year, you know, there's some homosexual or lesbian or some bisexual person
that comes out or something.
That comes off of Top Model. Like Project Runway is another one. Of course,
that
like,
would be a good one.
I really want to get us some people from Project Runway. We've never even had my buddy Richard Hallmark on, who was on Project Runway. He just came back from New York Fashion Week. So I want to, anyway, it's a lot of things that are in the works. I spend like entire evenings where I'm like, looking at stuff. I messaged Carmen Electra. I want to get her. I would love to have her on. Jessica Sutta of the Pussycat Dolls. I'm still trying to work on Lauren from Fifth Harmony.
Girl, try to get Nicole Scherzinger.
I mean, talented, but I don't know. I mean, it's possible. It's possible.
Why not?
Why not? I mean, I do love her, but like, I've been holding a grudge ever since she let little Rachel Crowe go home from...
Oh, that was sad.
I called her every kind of whore possible on internet. I tweeted her, what a bitch you are.
What a bitch you are.
I was like, you're such a bitch. I hope someday that little girl is a superstar and you're her opening act, bitch. So
that poor girl.
Did you ever see her? She actually had an album, Rachel Crowe, and she had a song called The Dime.
She had a YouTube channel.
She's adorable.
Okay, she is adorable.
She was a girl, wildly talented. I will say this. I remember it distinctly. I did find it inappropriate that like an 11-year-old was singing I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry.
Yeah.
And it wasn't good, but still, she was more interesting than that person that they kept.
Right.
Who was like, felt like every R&B male singer ever. Like, ever.
Right.
Anyway, Nicole Scherzinger, I'm holding a grudge, but if you come on the podcast, I'll let it go, bitch. So...
That had to be so traumatizing for everyone.
Yeah. Like
the producers, girl, everything.
I mean, how do you like break a little 11 or 12 year old's heart? How do you do it, Nicole Scherzinger? How do you do it? How do you sleep at night?
Just like this.
Oh my God. Like, I hate this part right here. I just can't take your
tears. Right. Right.
So, okay, I also want to get Todrick Hall on. Like, that's something I would like to... You don't like Todrick Hall?
I used to really like Todrick Hall. Now I'm kind of just kind of blah about him.
Because of the Taylor Swift thing?
No, I actually fell out of like for Todrick Hall a little before that. Like, before he even went blind.
Oh, I live for his music off, like, that Straight Out of Oz. Bitch, that Straight Out of Oz album is on fire. Have you heard the track that he does with RuPaul?
Yeah.
That track is fire!
That
bitch.
Track is not new, though. That track he had done before and then added RuPaul later.
Whatever. That track is fire, bitch. Yeah. The video is fire.
There's a lot of good songs on that. On that
Todrick Hall is really talented. Really talented girl. So,
yeah. Anyway. I've actually met him in person once.
Me too.
Yeah.
We flirted. I wasn't in drag.
Yeah. I don't know.
He was like an inch tall.
He was definitely about my height, at least.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'7".
Okay. Like I said, he was an inch tall. Yep. As far as men go, that's an inch tall. For women, that's a normal... she's a big woman. But, like, for a man, girl... If you're 5'7", you must have a step stool. Need a couple extra inches somewhere else to get my attention.
Speaking of which...
Now it's time for us to call our first guest.
Oh, really?
Let's call our first guest.
Who is?
Corey Wesley. He is the editor-in-chief of Kinkster Magazine in New York City.
Good evening.
Corey Wesley, it's Pollo Del Mar and Pearl Tees. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
So how are things in New York? How are you holding up over there?
We are holding up a-okay. You know, September's one of those tricky months, so the weather is really nice, so I can't complain.
All right.
So tell us how you decided to start Kinkster Magazine.
How did I start Kinkster? Well, I had previously had a line called Urban Flirt, and I wasn't really satisfied with the name. I wanted to really have content and stuff out there that I could relate to, and hey, guys relate to certain things like sex, and I wanted to develop something in that nature, and as the other sites out there, the content was more about gossip or drag queens and all that, which is great, but there was stuff that I was interested that I didn't see. And so what I did was I logged on to a lot of hookup sites and looked at screen names.
I bet you did. Sounds like you're a whore.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. And then from there, there was one common name that I saw, Kinkster. And Kinkster to me is youthful. It's fun. It's not, it can mean obviously by definition, it can mean sex, but also Kinkster is a person that is uninhibited in a state of mind. You can have to be a Kinkster of certain type of music, clothes, anything that might society sees as abnormal, that is a Kinkster. And so I said, oh, that's a clever name. And so I then created the brand Kinkster.
So for those of us who have not picked up an issue before, tell us what we...
It's mostly online, right, Corey?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So can you tell us what we would find if we went to the website and looked it up?
Sure. So the things that you would find on the website are articles. We like to highlight a lot of the LGBT artists that are considered independent, that may not have the exposure, but they might have amazing followers. So we try to tap into those individuals and not really talk about, you know, the celebrity type of their artistry, but more about the business aspect. How did they get there? Because I, as a person starting my own business, I never had resources that I could ask on how did you get to this point? How did you get these many followers? So I thought a clever way was to interview all these people and find out and piecemeal their success and try to cultivate it. So that's the kind of interviews you can see. Music, we highlight different LGBT artists in the music industry as well as across the board. So any genre, but just not LGBT. We cover all types of music. So if I find something or one of the other writers find music, they can go out there and, you know, that they don't, that you wouldn't necessarily hear about, you can find it there. We also have a resident DJ who's from Toronto, DJ Relentless, and each month he does a special mix of what's hot, and he gives a commentary with his his mix. So you can find that. And we talk about fiery finds, anything that's new and hot. So any like facial products for men, because our target audience is men. So any facial products, or you know, if somebody takes a new bottle of wine, I might write about it, or something like that. And we talk about dating, which is a hot topic. So when we hear different various situations, we write about them, booty calls and how, what's the best lube. You can find that on our website as well.
All right. Well, how do you find, like how do you decide which artists it is that you guys want to feature?
That's a good question. I don't know. I have a thing for it. I go with my gut. I look at certain things such as their presentation, their followership. You know, you can tell when an artist is very committed to their craft. And so I look at those things. I look at, you know, if they're pop, if they really use their choreography on point, how their fashion, things of those natures. Obviously, they need to be able to sing, of course. But those are just things I look for. I look at the, you know, the website. And sometimes I don't pick them right away. I kind of monitor some people. Like, I'll sit back and I'll just see how they're progressing. Because what we want them to do, as far as us too, we want them to be a certain stage in their career where the press is actually going to push them even to further. Because I think when independent artists are really out there working and grinding and going to clubs and things of that nature, they're not getting the press. They might have the following, but they don't have the press. And then once they get to a certain level, they need that first article, that second article, and then what happens, they start getting, you know, paid more and more because of those press. So I kind of look at that as well.
Now, you guys are based in New York City, and presumably you look to have a global reach for your outlet. So tell us how you, and as somebody who comes from a branding background, tell us what you do to make sure that Kingster has a global appeal.
Well, and this is where, and to be honest, to be honest with that, we're struggling with that because really I don't want to define Kingster, and every reason, every place has their own thing. Like, you know, New Yorkers have this approach, I guess people say we're so real and we're, you know, on the go all the time, and maybe the perception of LA people is that they might be pretentious and fake. So I don't want to give, so creating a global appeal is somewhat difficult, and that's what I'm working on. We've just launched just a year and a half, so we're trying to, as Tom Ford says, create a personality for your brand. So in essence, when you're developing a brand, your brand has to have a personality, and then, you know, a character. So basically you have to develop that character, and then that brand takes on that personality. It can be specific to the individual who's creating it, like myself, but really what happened is what we've seen is that we were targeting the LGBT community, but we were starting to notice girls were purchasing our stuff, women, and straight guys were purchasing our stuff. So then what happens is, to answer your question at the global reach, I don't know, because it's actually changing. So I have to follow what my customer base is. So the global appeal right now, I think, is just that people love the word, and then they follow me on Instagram, or they follow our pages on social media, and they're starting to see that we're really a positive brand, and that's our focus. And this, we encourage people to be who they want to be, and that's really what it keeps in a generic kind of way. It's just who you want to be, and you're not defined by society.
So if your brand has a personality, what is it?
Okay, if my brand had a personality, it's a person who thinks with their mind, not with their other head, but they are still a slut.
Oh, my. So.
And that they're, you know, that they also are advocates of change. They believe in a better way of doing things, like the current, you know, way, what's going on right now in our government, that they are not afraid to stand up and make it to say that they're not happy with that, and that they are not going to stand by and live by what other people tell them to do, and that they just have an open mind. And so that person is just someone who's just, you know, believes in a better tomorrow and is determined to make the best of their own life as well.
You know, I have been following you on social media, and I have to tell you, Corey, you are quite attractive to me. I find you very appealing.
Here goes, Corey.
Oh, thank you.
So
I appreciate that.
So, are you single?
Am I single? Do I have to check a box yet?
Oh, that means not necessarily single, but not necessarily taken either.
No, I'm not taken. See, being a Kingster, you have to be a little so that everyone's flirting with you so I can get more customers. Now, when I get the $1 million mark, then I can become unavailable.
Oh, okay, well... Pearl just because Pearl knows how I feel about that. I'm like, oh, hell to the no. I'm like,
you know, but I always say every day I'm a dollar closer to a million.
Well, okay. Well, the way I feel about it is this is $1 million pussy. If you want it, you better commit, bitch.
That's a lot of shit.
So, well, I guess another one bites the dust, Pearl. Another one.
Well, girl, I mean, it's okay. Quite messy, no, I mean...
I am a person who loves love. I believe in it. And I have it in my head. And obviously, being a kingster is kind of also part of being a lover of things and people, so I'm definitely single, but you know, my boyfriend right now is Kingster, but I'm open to whoever wants to, you know, call me.
He's open to a polyamorous relationship between him and the brand.
Yes,
and a man.
Yes, I love
him. Yeah, call me.
You know I love Team Polly.
Yeah. What in the hell are you digging through, Corey? Jesus, Corey, you sound like Pearl. Sounds like you're digging in a bag of potato chips over there.
Oh my God, no. Did that sound like that? I'm watching my girly figure.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
He's eating some potato chips.
Oh.
not me. That's that noise. Remember, I live in New York. That's that noise outside.
Oh, so you put the chips on the windowsill and put your hand outside to get them. Okay.
That's the background noise. You know, New York is known for giving background sounds.
Well, we're feeling it here, too. They're power washing the house next door to the studio, so that's
they
what...
They seriously are.
So we keep picking that up. It sounds like... Anyway. So, since you are based in New York, but you admit that you have an eye towards a reach beyond that, what steps are you guys taking to expand into markets outside of New York?
Connecting with fabulous individuals like yourselves. I search Instagram. I'm on Instagram a lot. You might think I'm scrolling looking at boys, but I'm not.
Lies.
I'm looking at people who are influencers, who have something to say. And I don't immediately reach out to them. You have to be very strategic as a brand manager. You realize when you get influencers, you have to be somewhat, again, back to the personality of a brand. They have to be somewhat closer to the image of your brand. And everybody is different. Your brand has different faces. And in branding classes and marketing classes, they teach you to create different people, like fictitious people. You give them a job, you give them a name, you give them all these things, and these are what those individuals look like, so then you know how to target, and I use that same philosophy when I'm looking for influencers. So I just look through social media, and I look at, you know, I watch people's videos that are talking about inspiration, or they're drag queens, they're in recovery and they're doing fabulous things, you know. Those are people that I feel are kingsters because they understand life and mentioned earlier, they want to change. So that's what I'm doing right now. And we just contact people, some people respond. And, you know, some people, you know, I guess some get intimidated by the word kingster, so they back away. But then they come back because they find out that it's not about sex. You know, everything that we promote is stimulating content and apparel, because we have apparel as well, but it's better than sex. And that's our tagline.
So, am I mistaken in thinking that you guys recently profiled Michelle Visage with an interview on your site?
It was one of my ideas, you know. I'm always strategizing. There's a lot of sites out there already that do very well with promoting the drag race girls, and I get that. But that yourself an audience of millennials that you want to tap into. She's a New York woman. I watched her key commentary. She did Gay Pride was televised for the first time here in New York. It had never been televised before. And she was one of the commentaries. And I was so impressed by her because she actually knows so much about the history. I mean, you know, and I think she just made me typecast as far as a person who knows the ballroom and all that and drag. But she really knows the community because she grew up here in New York where it was the gritty part of New York. And she really understood a lot about where we are, what we should be doing. And even she knew a lot of organizations as they were walking by. The other, obviously, our counterparts who were straight didn't know or understand or, you know, those organizations, and Michelle jumped in immediately off the top of her head, and I was so impressed by that, and that's why I wanted her on the site, because I felt that, one, it's an entryway, a back door, kind of speak, to, like, that wow production, and RuPaul world, and not for that, for the reasons of fame or anything, but just because you have to tap into what the millennials are into right now. So I wanted to go that way.
Right.
That's why I chose her.
Yeah, she's incredible. I will tell you, she's a phenomenal person. She's such a fun interview. She's just, I adore her. And I think that everything you say about her is absolutely correct. I mean, people, I believe, see her only as RuPaul's sidekick, but she actually is RuPaul's contemporary, and they came out of, you know, she was doing her own thing in the ballroom scene when RuPaul was becoming a thing, and so it's, I love her. I think that, I don't think she gets enough credit for her, both her knowledge and her long, long, long time dedication to the community, so big fan of her.
No, and that's truly what really, after June, we waited in that, and I was, you know, and obviously I'm new, the, you know, the new kid on the block. I do also have my own, you know, self-esteem at times. I'm like, oh, well, we're not ready yet. And I waited and waited. I almost fell off the floor when they said, yeah, we'll do an interview. And I was just so ecstatic because of what you just said about her. She's underrated, and she's not a sidekick. She's very smart. And I think we don't see those individuals that are like in the LGBT community, as far as the gay community, anyone who's kind of behind, I say, you know, with air quotes, celebrity, they're a sidekick. They're a joke, or they make, you know, they're not taken seriously. And for that, I was like, wow, we don't get to see that. And unfortunately, as I get older and I see the millennials, they don't even know what Stonewall is. If you ask them, it freaks me out. Like, I had a t-shirt on that said 1969, and then what's that reference for? And I said Stonewall.
Yeah.
And I went, really? Oh my God.
Well, they need to make a TV movie for it, and then they'll know.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They need to make the TV movie starring girls from RuPaul's Drag Race throwing the shoe, and then like suddenly be like, oh my God, this is so eventful.
Right, but then that's the reference point, you know, and that, I think Michelle, going back to that, she reminded me that we are going to lose our own history if it's not passed down. And I can't even say that I know half the stuff she knows. I don't know half the organizations that are out there like she did, and it's sad because eventually it's just going to be nothing left.
Right, and I think that is a very definite concern for the LGBTQ community, that the fear that we will lose our heritage and our history, because it's sad to say, and I don't want to harp on youth today, but there are people who are under 30 years old who legitimately act like drag started with season one of RuPaul's Drag Race. Actually, I take that back. They act like drag started with season two of RuPaul's Drag Race. Right. And it's like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Their only points of reference in terms of drag or anything of that culture, of the queer culture, is what they've seen on Drag Race. And, you know, I'm still hearkened back to when Mimi I'm First was on there, and she, like, they were questioning one of her looks, and, you know, she was like, you don't understand what this is from? And she's like, it's Lee Bowery. And they looked at her like she had three heads. They had no idea who Lee Bowery was. And now, of course, it's like, it was so bizarre to me.
Well, I also put the responsibility on RuPaul. I think at one point, they did that at finale where they kind of showed some past people, you know, like the Kevin Aviances and stuff like that, that were part of this transformation into this great industry of drag. But I believe the show should be teaching them through that point. I know we're doing the Madonna stuff. I love that. That's why you got 12,000 kimonis coming down the runway. But if you said, do a look by one of these other people, I guarantee you that they would have to do the research and we would know more.
Yeah,
about what should be happening.
Yeah, I definitely think that, like, I love the idea of a more open theme, like gay icons, which, you know, like, which gay icon are you going to be? Like, I mean, anything. And of course, my fear for that is that we would get 15 Madonnas still down the runway, or six Kylie Minogues or whatever. And, you know, like, other people who are classic probably would get overlooked. But anyway, Corey, tell us the website address where people can come and find you.
And the website.
Sure. Online magazine where we were talking about is Kinkster, and that's KinksterMag, like in mag, but it's not .com, it is .nyc, because we're based in New York. And you can actually purchase merchandise, and all the merchandise just says Kinkster on it, but they're very cool shirts, and you can wear them to the club, and I guarantee you might get, you know, somebody to hit on you. You can go to Kinkster, and that's KinkSTER, and then just .nyc.
So KinksterMag.nyc and Kinkster.nyc. And what is your Twitter and Instagram?
Twitter is KinksterBrands, because that's the official, so that's KinksterBrands for Twitter. And for Instagram, we are KinksterMag_NYC. Other one for the merchandise is Kinkster_NYC. And I can be reached also at Corey, Corey, Wesley_NYC.
Yes, he can. All right, Corey, thank you for joining us. And
oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, honey, I haven't had you yet, but when I do, you'll know.
All right, girl. It was lovely having you.
Well, thank you again. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I'll sext you.
You're very welcome. And be a kingster now.
Oh, I'll sext you nudes later. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, I'll be waiting. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye. That was Corey Wesley from Kinkster Mag. You guys can go check it out at Kinkster, KinksterMag.nyc, or go to Kinkster, KinksterNYC, to check out their fun merchandise. Thank you for joining us, Corey Wesley, and we will be back with more Party Foul Radio
right after this.
To stay abreast of all the latest LGBTQ-related news, entertainment, and beautiful photo pictorials, visit liveleft.com. That's liveleft.com. San Francisco's Left Magazine is Northern California's most beautiful LGBTQ entertainment and lifestyles publication. Visit them online at liveleft.com or pick up your copy in the Castro area today. Left Magazine is a proud media sponsor of Party Foul Radio.
And we're back with more Party Foul Radio. I am your co-host, Miss Poyo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
We just heard from Corey Wesley. He is the editor of KingsterMag.nyc, based in New York City. Go check it out, KingsterMag.nyc. Now, we're back for just a moment because we are going to be taking you to a pre-recorded interview. Last week, I caught up with a gal pal of mine. She was in town for Southern Decadence. She is a major pop star around the world, especially at home in Australia, where she is an ARIA winner. Do you know they have the ARIA Awards on there?
I was going to say, what is that?
It's their version of the Grammys, bitch.
All right. Do you know it? So it's okay. That's cool. That's so cool.
The ARIA Awards. And she,
all right.
And she's had major top 10 success down there. Of course, she has had major success on the U.S. dance charts as well. And I'm so excited because she told me, as you'll learn during the interview, that she is actually going to be doing a re-release of my favorite song by her, which is celebrating its 10-year anniversary next year. It's called Release Me. Every single time I have a party at the Lookout, we always hear it. Anyway, please welcome at this time, catching up with her right as she's leaving town after Southern Decadence, Miss Zoe Badwee, everyone. Hi, Zoe. How are you?
Good. I better put some headphones in because it's so loud for everyone.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting here at a cafe in the Castro. Oh, my God, you look gorgeous. Hi, beautiful.
Hi. It's so cold in the airport.
So, how was Southern Decadence?
So fun. So fun. Had the best time.
Yeah.
It was, so many people, which I didn't know it was going to be that busy, but it was amazing. And I stayed there a week, so I got to have a look around, and Chuck Robinson was very lovely to me.
Had you ever been to New Orleans before?
Only as a child, so it's a lot different when you're over 21.
Yeah. You think?
But everyone's so nice there.
Yeah, it's a lot different when you're over 21 and when you're there for, like, a gay high holiday, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. I had a great time. He says I'll be back next year and wants me for Mardi Gras. And I met another guy, Patrick, from Stolly, and he wants me for their event. So, yeah, it's all been great.
You're talking about Patrick Galano. Blonde hair, high heels, sassy, sassy.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. I know. That's our girl.
Yeah, he's a legend.
He's a legend. A little bit, yeah.
So nice.
Yeah, she's always on the go, that Patrick.
Always.
She's
always. I think she might have even got engaged while we were there and then broke up.
Oh my God, of course. That sounds about right. I think that happens at like Pride, Southern Decadence, not for just for her, but for all of us. You know, you go and you get your week-long boyfriend and then you're like, well, I guess this is not going to work out in the long run, so see you later.
Yeah, let's get divorced and we'll separate our goods, our costumes.
So, you are always doing these gay events, and I was wondering, like, tell me about that.
Who knows why? I love it, though. They're my favorite gigs to do.
Yeah.
And, just because everybody loves music more there, and they're not so much... When you do all the straight gigs, everyone's just like... you know, they don't care. But when you do the gay gigs, everyone's like, yes!
Yes, bitch!
So it's so much more fun. And plus, I get heaps of ideas for costumes off everybody in the audience.
Yeah. So I...
The best costumes.
I have to tell you that... The time that I met you when you were here in San Francisco, and I was so sad because I wasn't gonna get to see you perform live, and then you basically sang "Release Me" just for me, all alone in that club. Girl, it was like, it's one of the highlights of my life to this day. Still, I mean,
my pleasure. It was fun. I remember that. I think I had a really bad. I can't remember. I think I was jet lagged or something, but I was like, I'm singing for you.
I mean, who gets to have that experience? Having somebody singing their favorite song at the time to them live right there when you're literally the only one in the entire club. Girl, you made my life.
I was supposed to go to San Francisco again this time, but the timings didn't work out.
So I want to ask you about that because... To this day, I mean, you've had a lot of hits on the charts here in the U.S., but to this day, Release Me is, like, still, like, probably, like, I mean, it's constantly played. It's like a new modern classic.
I know. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Do you know what's its 10-year anniversary next year?
Of that track? It's been 10 years?
Yeah. And they're going to do a re-release with all new remixes and everything.
Yeah, it's a must. Because the crazy part about that song that I thought was so unusual at the time was, like, I constantly heard it playing, but it didn't do, like, it didn't do on the charts in the U.S. like Free Fallin' did, for your example. You know what I mean? I was like, how is that possible?
Yeah. Well, I think it was because it was sort of before. It was before all of that, so.
Right.
And it's, I think it's a bit cooler that it didn't, I think, for me anyway, because it didn't get overly, I mean, even though it plays all the time, but once it hits the radio and saturated, everyone's like, ugh, I've had enough of this. But they just can't get enough of Release Me.
No. To this day, like, so we just passed Labor Day, you know, Mondays. So on Mondays of holidays, I always do these tea dance parties here in the Castro because everybody has the day off or whatever. And I will legitimately knock bitches down when that song comes on. Like, get out of my way!
Yeah. Me too. That's no shame. I run down to the front of the dancer. I'm like, hey, it's me. No, I love that song. I've got another one similar. That's, if I find the right music, I'll maybe release that too. It's the same sort of vibe and fun. I just got to find the right music to go with it.
So you have all the lyrics and the vocals. You're just waiting for the track.
Mm-hmm.
DJs.
We've tried a few, but none quite as good. So I'm on the lookout.
DJs, get her some damn music already. We need it. I need it in my life. So
yes, let's put this out there.
I was wondering, like, at home in Australia, you are a mainstream pop star, but in the U.S., you're like a dance artist and a gay club phenomenon.
Describe, yeah, it's nice. Best of both worlds.
Right, but, I mean, describe what the difference is like.
Well, I mean, I still do all the Mardi Gras and everything in Australia, which is the fun ones, but I guess I do a lot more straight gigs in Australia.
Right.
And lots of corporate shows and TV stuff and all that. So I guess it's a bit more mainstream, I would think, in Australia. But here, you just let your hair down and have fun.
Yeah, I've never been to Gay Mardi Gras. I saw that you were, like, one of the headliners at Gay Mardi Gras in Australia. And that looks crazy, girl. It's like, it looks insane.
It is crazy. And then I one of the theme songs I released for them as well, called Torches, which I've sang at Decadence and went well. But yeah, no, Mardi Gras is wild. It's just the streets are full. And I think the peak time to play is about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Of course. They're like, they're still going from the night before, honey, and they're ready for you to pick them back up and take them through the next day.
I think they just keep going.
So, not being from Australia, I was shocked because I recently got contacted by their LGBTI awards ceremony down there.
Yeah.
And it's like only a couple of years old, but it seems to be like a really big deal. So how familiar are you with that?
I'm pretty sure I went to one of the awards nights as well, I think. I don't know, there's so many things you go to. I'm pretty sure I did. I think I wore a really nice black lace dress. A little slutty.
Well, I saw that Lucy Lawless, like, won one of their huge awards last year.
Oh, was that last year I went? I think I remember something about that. I don't know, there's that many award ceremonies and things that go on.
Well,
that's nice that they contacted you. You should have come out for it.
Well, okay, so, like, this isn't about me, it's about you, but I'm curious. You're, like, one of the few people I know from Australia who's, like, still lives there and kind of in touch with what's going on, but they contacted me about an award nomination. They, like, somebody nominated me for some kind of an award, and I was just utterly shocked. I mean, it's, like, it's really cool, and I know that you'll understand this, but, like, on a much larger scale than I do. It's really cool to think that somebody fucking recognizes your work that, like, lives far away, or, you know what I mean?
Isn't that? It's so nice. Well, it must be because you've obviously changed somebody's life from it.
Aw.
So how, where are you in the process? You said that you've got this new track that's sort of just like chilling, waiting for music, but where are you in the process of releasing stuff that we need to hear about?
Well, I released a remake of Moose Tea and Anaya Day's Horny, and it went to number 9 in Australia. And then I'm working on other stuff too, and I'm also working on the European circuit for next year. So I've got a track coming out with Jan Slater. That's a bit of a secret, no one knows yet, so you can have the goss on that one.
Oh, yeah.
And a few tracks with him, and then I've been DJing a little bit as well. So a little bit of everything coming from me.
Yeah, and you started out in acting, right? Like
yeah, a little bit of acting and like Target catalog modeling and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, I was just wondering, and you are like so multifaceted. Is there an area that you kind of like focus most exclusively on?
Music.
Yeah, music is your favorite.
Yeah, I thought you said, is there anything you're not good at? And I was going to say maths.
No, like, I mean, it's funny, though, because everybody's, it's one of those things that people will tell you, like, oh, my God, you're so good at everything, but everybody has a weakness, and so you, it's math, okay? I get it.
Yeah, I'll just use the calculator.
Well, hello, that's why they were invented, right? So.
That's what I think. You're all right now. Back at school in my day, I would have excelled. Because then they were doing all of the multiply this and divide that. I'm like, wait, what? What was the first question?
Well, I mean, look at how we're doing. For people who are going to be listening to this, they have no idea the lengths that we've gone to make this interview happen. You guys, I'm recording it on my phone from another friend's phone, and she's at an airport in New Orleans, and I'm in San Francisco. So we...
head back to Australia.
Yeah, like, we jumped through hoops to bring this to you, and I love you for that. That is so amazing.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. No bother at all.
You
gotta get back to San Francisco.
Yeah, you do, definitely. You definitely need to get back to see us. Like, how your schedule sounds very hectic, and of course, for you, you're talking about working the European circuit, you're working the U.S. circuit, and being from Australia, that's like an 18-hour flight. Like, how often do you end up making
don't
that?
Remind me.
Yeah, like how often do you make that kind of flight?
What was that last question?
Well, how often do you make that kind of flight to do all these things?
Oh, just whenever need be. When a girl's got to sing, she's got to sing.
Right, yeah. I mean...
But, I try and work it in so then I do a bit of a tour at once. But I had some visa issues last year when I was supposed to do Southern Decadence. So I just needed to break that cycle with the consulate and get back, just everything back in normal again, so that it'll all kick off again from now.
I'm sure that I asked you this a long time ago when we first spoke, but how did it happen that you sort of like fell in with the gays?
I have no idea. I guess because maybe I'm... It's not like I'm shy on stage, is it? I'm really, really out there. So maybe that, or just who knows why, but I'm so grateful. If I knew why, No, I don't know. I just guess I'm me. Who knows? Do you know?
No, I mean, I always wonder that because sometimes, for example, like an artist will have a natural reason for maybe the inclination or whatever, like, you know, like somebody like Ariana Grande's got a gay brother or somebody like, you know, whatever. But sometimes it just seems like it almost happens just so organically that even the artist themselves is like...
And I think that's the best way.
Yeah, I think so, maybe.
Yeah, I that is, because it's not contrived. It's not like I try and work angles or anything like that. I'm just me, and if you like me, then great. And if you don't, go away.
Yeah, I mean, I think that... I will say that there have been many times where we've seen it very orchestrated that somebody is like becomes a thing with the gays. Like, that's what they want from the go. They're like, okay, you guys, we're going to market to the gays. We're going to do this. And if that happened with you, I wasn't aware of it. I think that we just gravitated right to your music.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first song was released, as we know, and that was just went to the normal dance charts, and that from then I just was embraced, and I'm just ever so grateful and so lucky. I think I've got excuse me, whooping cough. No, I don't.
You guys, we're killing Zoe right now with this interview. She's dying in the New Orleans airport.
I am. Let me get a drink. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
Cheers to a smoothie.
Ah, yes.
Okay, we're good.
No, I mean, I
made me cry from coffee.
Well, I think that... I don't know. I mean, I suppose that there are some people, I think, that might probably be uncomfortable with the idea that they've been drawn in by the gays or whatever, but that has never been the impression I've gotten by you. You know, I mean, I'm sure there are people who are.
No way. Oh, no way. I love it. I just love it. Yeah, because everyone's so nice. Oh, announcement time. Shh, I'm doing an interview.
So, now tell me, like, you've got all this stuff, but when actually are you going to have, like, a single firmed up to be out and about for us to listen for?
Oh, you want the date. I don't have the date just yet, but I'll let you know.
Okay.
I'll let you know the date. So you can help get it out there to everyone.
Yeah, obviously. And so I'm personally so excited about new music from you. I'm going to be hitting up, like, producer friends of mine and being like, Zoe says that she has a song.
Yeah, tell them to send me tracks.
Yeah.
Send me instrumentals, and I'll see if I can fit these songs on, or if not, I'll write new stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that you and I know so many of the same, like, amazing, internationally acclaimed producers and stuff. I would just love for you to be, like, your voice and somebody like Chris Cox or Wayne G or Paul Goodyear. Hello, it's like...
I love Wayne G.
Oh, my God, me too.
I love Wayne G. He's so nice.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart.
Yeah, we've worked a few things together, but he's always away as well.
So I'm just curious, like, this seems like stuff a record label would do. Are you with a label, or are you, like, an independent artist at home?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, but I always think the best songs happen between friends and people who get together and who get along really well. I think that's when the best songs happen. I certainly am. I'm signed to Warner. I mean, I was signed to Warner, and now we're at Universal. And I've got a really strong relationship with the record company, who are so nice to me. And it's been, as I said, 10 years nearly. And they just always support me. And I show them new music. They're like, yep, love it. Great. What's next? I'm like, okay, cool.
Oh, well, that's a really interesting and good relationship for you then, because you know as well as I do that is not the relationship some artists have with their labels. You know, some labels are like... Like, this is what you're doing. I don't care if you like it. This is where we're taking you.
No. That's not me. That's no thank you. And they know that. I mean, I think that's what we say by being authentic to who you are. That's how you get the best out of people. So if they tried to force me to do heavy rock, imagine. Doubt it.
Right. But, I mean, it's nice that you have that freedom, though, because some artists... Their labels just want to craft everything about them. And I think it makes for an unfulfilling experience. You know what I mean? Like,
for everybody. The listeners, the writers, the production, the singers, everyone. It's just not fun. Your heart's not in it.
Yeah. Well, I am really glad that you talked with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for speaking to me. And I'm sure we'll be in touch soon, my friend.
Yes, we will. I look forward to it. Bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
That was Australian superstar Zoe Badwee. She is right now at the New Orleans airport getting ready to go home to Australia. Check her out on Twitter and all of the other social media. It's Zoe Badwee, Zoe Badwi. I'm Poet Almar. You're listening to Party Foul Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Zoe Bagley, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio.
And we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm Poet Omar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
That was Zoe Badwee. Go check her out. Follow her on Twitter at Zoe, Zoe Badwi. Zoe Badwee. And, of course,
check out all of her music, her big hits, Free Fallen and Release Me. She's done it all. She's huge down under, and we're super excited to give a little focus to artists from down in Australia. Of course, you guys know, go check out GuideToGay.com. GuideToGay.com is Australia's premier LGBT website for entertainment, news, and travel. So I'm sure that they're going to be able to pimp this out because they love Zoe down there.
All right.
And I did check in with her. I wanted to know more about these LGBTI awards that I was nominated for. Fingers crossed I'll be nominated. They closed nominations over the weekend, so fingers crossed that, like, maybe I'll go into...
You think you'll get some money?
I don't think I'll get money, but if they send me to the next round and, like, I get nominated for an award down under, it'll do us great, don't you think?
I don't know. Do you think they'll send you out there?
Maybe.
Girl, then get... you need to get this award.
Yes, I want to get it. And, like, can you imagine if I get a nomination, it falls right around the time that... Remember earlier this year, Sister Roma and Ellen Friedman from Swiss Navy Premium Personal Lubricants went down to Australia. So if I get nominated, it's possible that Swiss Navy will foot the bill and take me down there.
Maybe they'll keep you down there, girl.
Oh, isn't that funny? Then your bitch ass would be high and dry. You wouldn't have no kind of podcast.
That's not, girl. You think it would be hard for me to get on another podcast?
Yes, I do.
No,
girl, she's gonna try it. Next week she'll be like, I'm here, bitch. I'll just lock up all the doors and be like, I don't need you, ho. I'm doing it on my own, bitch. Actually, that's actually half true because I was just gonna say that some of you might have seen I posted on my Facebook page how I have been going through this period of where I'm looking for inspiration and what my next steps are gonna be. And one of the things that I've decided that I'm going to do in addition to this podcast, as you're well aware, I am a humongous professional wrestling fan, and we often cross-pollinate by bringing pro wrestlers and such on here. You could hear Pearl yawn when I said it because she could give two fucks. But I'm going to be launching my own wrestling-related podcast. It's going to have recaps of recent shows, like the television products for the week. It's going to have celebrity interviews. We're going to have wrestlers on there, and it's going to be professional wrestling talked about from an LGBTQ perspective, and it's something that I just want to do. I won't need necessarily a co-host for that. I'll have like a guest on every week or whatever. It's going to be something that's going to be, I think it's going to be really fun and very exciting for me.
Cute.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a little side project, and I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be called The Arm Drag Takedown Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, wow.
Get it? The play on the drag? An arm drag takedown is like an actual wrestling move. And then arm drag takedown. It's like me taking down the week's wrestling events. It's kind of cute, right? I think it's cute. It's clever. Whatever,
go bitch. Go in, girl.
No, whatever, bitch.
You should call a power bomb.
The power bomb.
That's cute.
The power bomb podcast. Well, I figured like the arm drag, like I did a little research. There are some LGBTQ-related podcasts that talk about professional wrestling, but...
Or the bench press.
The bench press. Girl, the bench press.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The press from the bench, girl.
Oh, Lord.
The play on words, because you know it's also a move.
A bench press, it is like...
I know it's also a workout weight, move, but it's also a wrestling move.
A bench press?
Yeah.
I don't think so. A bench press is not a wrestling move. Like, there's all kinds of presses. Like, a gorilla press, which is followed by a gorilla press slam. She's looking it up. Anyway, I am looking forward to this. It's going to be something that's fun. I just have always loved pro wrestling. So, it's going to be an opportunity. And I'm sure that there have been occasions where we've had professional wrestlers on where you guys, as listeners, your eyes are probably glazed over the same way that Pearl's do, bitch. Right. So this will be something that will be specific to that. But I will say that one of my followers on Twitter said something really inspirational because I said, when I mentioned on Twitter that I was thinking about doing this, I said, but seems like there's a lot of professional wrestling-related podcasts out there. Sure. Not a lot that are geared towards the LGBTQ perspective. Or the talk.
You better shut it down.
Oh my God. A neighbor talked and the dogs went wild. But he said, well, there's none out there that have got your LGBTQ perspective. And I was like, you know what? That is right. Because the, technically speaking, there are a lot of LGBTQ podcasts out there too, but none with you and me on them. None with our perspective. Plus, like, why not, girl? Why not? So that is something that it's a big project that I'm looking forward to starting. I have to figure that out. I've got that in the works. I've got this new thing project at El Toro in the works. I'm still doing my writing. So it's an exciting time to be me.
Good for you, girl. I live.
If only y'all could gauge condescending looks from the eyes. She's like, I live, bitch.
It's exciting, girl.
So, I mean, just like to just keep myself very busy.
Yeah, I've been so busy too, girl. So,
y'all, I nearly fell out of my chair beating a dog's ass.
I told you guys before, but my brother is officially my new roommate now.
That is exciting. How is that working out for you?
That has been, so far, so good. It's just been mostly moving him in and cleaning the apartment up from, like, the old roommates that were there. And I put up curtains and stuff and getting new furniture and seeing.
So he has his own room. It's not like y'all are in bunk beds or something, right?
Right, girl.
Okay, just making sure.
No,
girl, this is San Francisco, bitch. It sounds ridiculous, but I've seen places that really do have bunk beds and each person paying like $600 a person.
Never.
Girl.
Nope, not this one. Not me. I can't do it. I need my own space. But that's been cool.
That's great.
You guys, this weekend, both me and Poyo will be over at the San Francisco Design Center.
That is correct.
Friday for Design Meets Divas of Drag. Girl, I was getting there.
I'm sorry,
Jesus.
Girl. Say it again, bitch.
Ah, never mind. But it's going to be fun. We both actually have the same designer, but we're sponsored by two different people.
By two different showrooms, yes. Yeah. I am sponsored by Needler Ferrer. And Pierre Fry is my actual fabric designer, and I am really stoked for the look. I'm going tomorrow to meet with our homegirl Kipper for my final fitting.
All right.
So let's hope everything is all together by Friday, girl. So
right. I met with some of my dancers this past weekend. I meet another one tonight, right after this, I finished recording this show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Girl, I'm not sure about all the dancers in business. I'm like, I haven't got all that planned out.
Did you have dancers and stuff before?
No.
Yeah, so I don't think they're expecting you to have dancers and stuff, but...
No, but I could surprise a bitch.
Oh.
I'm not going to surprise them.
I didn't think
I'm not going to surprise them.
I
could!
Well?
Perhaps I will.
Okay.
I'm not going to.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
So, you guys... If you want tickets, I think they still have standing room occupancy available.
They sold out like 25 tables, I read.
And girl, the tables were expensive.
AF.
Like $1,000 a table.
Yeah, something like that.
That seats 10.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's expensive.
But you know what? I think they actually get an open bar.
They do get an open bar. So
if you have standing room, you do have to pay for your drinks.
You know, girl, Pearl would have dropped $100 for a seat in an open bar too, bitch. So, guess what? When I went over to visit our homegirl, Kipper Snacks, who is our designer for Design Meets Divas of Drag. I walk in and I'm like, getting ready or whatever. And then I notice it, like, the door to the closet, like, pulls itself shut. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, some bitch is hiding in the closet up in here. And I'm like thinking to myself, girl, if you got a trick, you should have just told him to leave. You know, like, whatever.
You're such a bitch.
But I open the door. Who's in there? Tiny.
Yeah.
Tiny T's up in the closet. Is she living in that closet?
No, she's not living in that closet, but she has been with Kipper for a few days.
Lord, I was like, bitch, we did all my measurements and everything. And then finally I was like, who's in that closet? And she's like, it's Michaela's in there. And I was like, I opened the door. I was like, bitch, come out of the closet. Why are you fucking hiding up in the closet? She's like, but I wanted to give you privacy. Bitch, we've gotten ready in the same hallways before. Like, there's no such thing as privacy. After a number of years doing drag, girl, you just like, okay, bitch. It's like being in a locker room. You're like, right. I'm stripping it off.
I remember when I first got my boobs, girl, I was like trying to hide my boobs in the back. I was like, let me just be a proper lady. But it's damn near impossible when you do drag in the city.
Yeah, it's... Close quarters.
Well, who was it that we interviewed that was telling us that in their city, they have a different dressing room for the trans women?
I don't remember somebody saying that, but...
Yeah. I want to say, was it Peppermint?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember who it was, but wherever that city is, girl, I need to check y'all out.
Well, y'all, I'm so used to seeing, I've seen more titties during drag shows than I ever saw as a fraternity boy. So, like, it's just how it was and how it is.
I don't think we don't have that many trans performers out here, do we?
We don't, but girl, all it takes is one time being in a show with Bianca Simone or Simone Gemini, and you get every titty that you've ever needed to see your whole life. She, like, just all hanging out, girl, just everywhere.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more reserved with my boobs.
Yeah, give her a few weeks at Asia SF. Next thing you know, she'll be showing up at nothing but pasties on here for the recordings at the studio.
It's not my table.
Whatever. Y'all already seen her on Instagram. She's just covering her breasts a little bit. Ooh,
whatever, girl. I at least have a bra on.
Oh, my God. So, anyway.
Speaking of which, I just reached my 2 years not too long ago on HRT.
Oh, well, congratulations on that.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Do you know who I saw? Oh, forget it. I was going to say something crazy shady, and I'll wait until after the show. It's like, anyway, well, congratulations, Pearl.
I didn't realize the difference of my face. I'm going to show you a picture of me a picture of me with no makeup on now and what it used to be.
She's going to show me pictures, y'all. Before and after. It's like show and tell.
This one.
You look the same. Minus there's some hair on your face.
Girl, my skin looks better. My skin's like glowing. I've rounded out.
Well, you have rounded out. I don't remember you looking like that very much. Anyway, what was that?
That was a little bit before me and you actually knew.
I was going to say, she's like hella skinny in this picture she just showed me.
What is that supposed to mean, bitch? Shut up, Poyo. I am, you know what? I've been losing weight. I'm actually having a skinny day today. I'm feeling real skinny today.
Girl.
Fuck Poyo. Don't listen to her, girl. I bet you I weigh like half her goal weight, girl.
Half my goal weight. Bitch, you know things are bad when you're like, I'm having a skinny day.
No, you know when you have like a skinny day when you just feel extra skinny. When's the last time you had a skinny day, bitch?
Honey, I can. You know what?
I'm still trying to find it.
No, girl, I'm gonna be honest with y'all. I can have a skinny day after one shit, bitch. I could lose like 7 pounds right there just in one pass.
Girl, you can lose 7 pounds if your life had depended on it.
Sometimes I take a shit so large and I feel like I've lost my life, much less 7 pounds. Lord, if it just felt all the life drain out of me right then.
Poyo has been on a diet the entire time I've known her.
I'm not on any kind of a diet right now at all, bitch, which is clearly showing, but like, I mean, my weight 100% goes up and down. And right now it's like mostly just up. I haven't made any effort whatsoever to even be mindful of what I'm eating. Like at the last, so every night after I do one of these Diva Royale shows, it's right next door to a Walgreens and it's so smoldering hot in there. I walk down to Walgreens and get 2 full pints of ice cream and eat them both.
Well, you guys,
but the bright side of that is I know it's horrible for you, but I'm lactose intolerant. So it just passes right through me, girl. And 45 minutes later, I'm like,
whoop. I don't think that's how it works. I still think you put on weight from it.
Whatever. It's probable that, let me tell you, she's been on HRT to get her titties. Mine are just happening naturally.
Yeah, girl, that's real. You've had yours for a minute though.
I know. I just like,
mine's are reaching a year next month. No, wait, in 2 months. Aww. Can you believe I've had them for a year already? Doesn't it seem like I just got them?
In November, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember you getting them in November. It was one of the most delightful periods of my life. I was 2 weeks without her on the podcast. It was amazing. Anyway, she's like, oh, you bitch. So, yeah, I remember it was the last good weekend I had.
Whatever, bitch. Was that when we had Lexi on?
Yes. Speaking of which, you guys, if you're in the Bay Area, this weekend, Saturday, is voting day for Grand Ducal Council of San Francisco.
That was fast. Like,
yeah,
campaigning lasted no time at all.
So, Lexi Shimmers, our Nob Hill correspondent, is running for Grand Duchess, and she is opposing my drag niece, Miss Shugana.
I didn't know you guys were related. I guess I did kind of know.
Yeah.
You both are sober hoes.
Yeah. So, and...
Yeah, sober hoes.
And... I y'all, I kind of got into it a little bit with Lexi. I'm really just looking forward to this campaign being over, and whoever wins is going
to
win.
I am honestly not really paying attention to it, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah,
It is what it is. However, I am starting to put together, well, not put together, but come up with ideas for my next pageant that I'm running.
Which is when?
It's next year.
Okay.
It's a little bit after my step down in March. It is not Universal Show Queen, but it's National Show Queen.
Okay.
So it's a National Showgirl pageant.
Okay, cool. I think that I heard that La Saviana Hunt just won
La Femme Magnifique.
La Femme Magnifique. Yes.
Yes.
And that is that a national thing or
that is a national pageant as well?
Did she win the whole national pageant?
She did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would. How many people competed against her? I'm wondering.
I don't know, and I honestly don't know. That's a pageant system I don't follow.
Yeah, I really don't follow the pageant systems at all, for the most part.
The only pageant systems I like have been following lately is All American Goddess and Continental.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, I love competition and stuff like that, but I just don't like. I really don't see myself as part of like doing that whole thing. It just doesn't kind of whatever.
Agreed.
It's too much money. It's too much attention.
It is a lot of money.
It's too much of commitment.
It's a lot of work.
And for me, I would rather channel all of that energy, money, and attention into other things besides like a crown. Like I know that that's what some people live for and they love it.
It's a little more than a crown, depending on what system it is. But I mean,
I'm not downplaying any of it, but I'm saying that even if I were like to win one of those things, I still think that it would take time, money, and attention from things that I would find more valuable in the broader spectrum for me.
That's understandable. I do think personally though, it doesn't take winning to get something out of these pageants. I mean,
of course not. I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
Because of these pageants, I've been able to travel and stuff. You know what I mean? I've been able to travel paid and perform in other states and stuff. And that, you know, is something I've always kind of wanted to do with my entertainment persona.
Right.
But even with that being said, you could take that money that you spent on a pageant and just go somewhere.
Amen. I'm like, so
it's up to, it depends on what it is you want to do.
Yeah. I would rather like focus my energies and attention on something else. Like I said, I don't think it's a negative thing towards anybody who I know some people who like, I do think that there's something that people need to look at when there are individuals out there who I know have spent like literally enough to purchase a home
right
on shit. And I'm like, right. Okay, either you have like way more money than I can imagine having, or you have way more fucked up priorities than I can imagine having.
So, I don't know.
Because
bro.
Like, if you're like spending all like $40,000 to do some pageants or whatever, and your ass is living in somebody else's apartment, you need to like really fucking figure your life out.
That's real. That's real.
I mean,
there's no excuse for that, especially there's none. There are pageants though that will give you a black card for your reign.
Right.
Which is amazing. But that can only be used for your own drag and stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, if there's huge stuff like that on the line, then that's great. But in general, like for every one girl that wins, there's like 10 girls who spent $30,000 to get a pat on the back and a fucking kick in the ass and go home with like a sash and nothing else.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say nothing yet.
I understand because I'm first one to tell a girl, like, remember, this is about the experience and like personal growth and personal challenging, you know, challenging yourself personally.
Especially as someone who has their own pageant that they run.
How about, I don't think that pageant's happening this year. We moved it and then Landa's not available and Pearl's gagged. We're like a month behind where we would be and we're supposed to be coming up very soon to be doing this and it's just not in the cards like right now. We're going to either have to put it on hold or something. So it's just like my attention was taken on up with like the shifting of gears at the cafe and all my career and stuff.
Oh, girl, this is exclusive news.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Landa and I started, my drag mother and I produce a pageant called the California Gold Pageant every year. And we have started to talk about the idea. I mean, it's literally supposed to be next weekend, and it's just not. I can tell you it's not happening next weekend. So
it was supposed to be next weekend?
The 22nd. And so we're going to have to, like, either postpone or figure something out. Like, it's going to be a postponement again. We already postponed it once. But what needs to happen, and I take a huge amount of responsibility for this, because my position with this pageant is to recruit girls, and I have not been really actively recruiting. So what needs to happen is we need to reset a date, and we need to, I need to start saying, like, okay, girls, like, I need you to start committing, or who's going to do this? And, my guess would be if we end up doing it, it'll be in November, like, towards the beginning of November before the holidays and everything. Mm-hmm. So that'll give us, like, another 7 weeks or something like that to properly plan and promote it. But right now, Landa is going to be out of the country during the weekend that we're supposed to be doing this, and I have, you know, like 100,000 things on my plate. So It just isn't happening right now.
Y'all heard it here.
You heard it here. All right, you guys. Anyway, with that said, we are almost at the end of our time here. Pearl, what should they be looking for besides Drag Meets Divas, Design Meets Divas of Drag for both of us this Friday?
Girl, that is the only thing I'm doing this Friday, and I think that is my drag for the month, hopefully.
Well, I will be doing Design Meets Divas of Drag, and then if you get a chance, come on over to Lookout on Friday night. If you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, or specifically the Castro, check out Lookout at the corner of 16th and Market. They are celebrating 10 years.
Oh, really?
Yes, the Lookout started 10 years ago, and I will be there. Carne Asada is going to be there.
Because it used to be Metro City Bar.
The Metro was before that. And then, so Carney will be the MC or whatever, the hostess of mistress of ceremonies. I'm going to be there, just having some fun and giving out some jello shots for all these years of support and everything that people have shown me. And I cannot express to you guys how much I love Greg Crosby and Chris Hastings and the whole crew at Lookout. When I was brand new on the scene of drag, they came to me after probably towards the end of my first year of doing drag and said, we saw you competing in the Miss Gay San Francisco pageant. We thought you were hilarious and campy and fun, and we want something at our new bar. Will you come work with us? And they gave me my first opportunity to have my own show. It was actually a co-hosting thing that BB Sweetbriar and I did. We did Brain Farts Trivia for BB and I did it together for a year, and then I did it. I'm sorry, BB and I did it together for 2 years, and then I did it on my own for a year, and then I went over to doing merry-go-round with them, which, you know, was my first real personal show hosting a gig. And they took a chance on me, an unknown queen, and they really, really helped foster me. I've worked with them for the entire 10 years that they've been there. I just love them, and I'm so happy that they have, over the last number of years, contributed over $1 million to local charities, as well as countless, countless good times. So that's where I'll be on Friday. Congratulations, Chris, Greg.
Wait, Friday is also... Oh, you're doing that after.
Yes. So that's what's going on with us Friday. Come and see us at Design Meets Divas of Drag, and then come see me at Lookout afterwards. For this episode of Party Foul Radio, I'm Poet Omar.
And I'm Pearl T.
I think we're out.
Yep. Bye. Girl, you better work. Work. It's over. Work. It's over. Work. It's over.